Thank you for taking the ride on the Freedom Train Podcast series. I'm your host, Joe Swartz, and always ride with me is my homeboy, Mr. Patrick Earp, and it really goes down. And remember, the Freedom Train is brought to you by PAX Inc., that's PACTSINC, and PAX Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. For more information, as you already know, make sure you visit www.pactsinc.org to learn more about the organization, browse through the website, learn more about the codes of conduct, the members, and all of the resources that they have, including the Learning Center available for you. Once again, it's www.pactsinc.org. And as you know, while you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com, where we get it down. We hold it down right here at the Freedom Train Network. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram. On Twitter, you know, we're Freedom Train Net. Instagram, Freedom Train Network. We're on YouTube, Freedom Train Network. Facebook, Freedom Train Network. iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Freedom Train Network. We out here. Got the shows. We have shows for you 6 out of the 7 days. You know, make sure you go to the website, www.freedomtrainradio.com, to check out all of our shows, check out our weekly lineup. If you have an Android phone, even if you don't have an Android phone, you know somebody got an Android phone, make sure you go to the Google Play Store, type in Freedom Train Radio, and download our app. So that way, you just go right there. Everything you need to know about Freedom Train is right in that app. Pat.
What up?
Tell them about the app. You the app master. Tell them about the app in the live stream. Go ahead, tell them about it.
I'm going to tell them about Gun Live Out.
Yeah. So,
the app is an app, and you use the app like you use other apps. When you press the app button, the app up, and you app that with the app. So
you lying.
You got the app. So you get the app, you have the app, and everything on the app that is an application to your application, to our radio station, for the app and the network of your facilitation of the application. You feel me? You feel me?
So do you have to be apt to be applicable?
It might be apt.
See, you weren't ready for that.
You interrupted my answer, though. I had a nice Hey, man, what we got today, man?
Hey, man, hip-hop. It's bigger than hip-hop. We're talking about the hippity-hoppity. So, and I'm going to tell you how we got to this point, right, with this particular show. So, of course, you know, me and you've been having discussions back and forth about, man, we need to get a hip-hop show on this network, right?
Right.
Because I'm a fan of hip-hop. I study the history and the stuff. You do the same thing. You're a fan. You study it, too. And we love hip-hop, but we still got to be able to control the narrative, because we're still not really controlling the narrative. You got people like Vlad and all these other shows out here. You know, and do shout-out to people like Joe Buttons and stuff for the things that they do, try to keep some of the realness and the culture, but we like here at the Freedom Train Network, we need our own hip-hop show. So I went to a concert back in February, March, the group called Oshun, two young ladies, real live, nice album called Bittersweet, out right now, man, so you go get your copy, right? So while I'm at the concert, I ran into Emmanuel, he nicked my September.
Right.
I ran into him, and so homie, we dap each other, we talking or whatever, and I'm like, hey, man, because I had no idea that he had a history of podcasting, so I'm like, hey, man, you ever thought about doing a hip-hop podcast? Because we looking for somebody to do a hip-hop podcast. He was like, hell yeah, I'm down. So, a little time passed, and we still got up, and we caught up, so we have been able to establish a foundation, and we're building upon it, and the house is built, and we have a hip-hop show now on the network hosted by Enigma September. So we got him on the show today so we could talk about some hip-hop, but also talk about the Enigma Sep Hour, which will be the name of his show. Y'all can learn more about him because we want to introduce you all to him who may not know him, so you will already know that how it's going to get down. So when you listen to the Enigma Sep Hour, man, you ready for your mind to be exploded. You feel me, Pat? You feel me? You feel me?
I don't know that I want my mind to be exploded. I like my mind intact.
It's going to be intact but exploded. How about that? There you go. Don't even worry about it. See, don't even think about it. But with that being said, we like for everybody in this studio to get up, little man in the shirt, get up, put your hands together, and we welcome Enigma September to the Freedom Train Podcast. Yes, sir.
I did, bit.
Yeah, boy.
I did, bit.
Yeah.
I did, bit.
Yeah. What's going on, my brother?
Yo, I'm good, man. I appreciate y'all boys letting me on, man. Y'all some funny dudes, man. Y'all wow.
Joe, you're funny.
Funny guy. This guy.
Hey. Well, you know, somebody got to do it, B. Somebody got to do it, B. So, man, hey, so before we get deep into this, I would like for you to kind of give a little background information about yourself. Who you are, how you got into hip-hop, and because you are an artist yourself, and, of course, you know, tell people about your music and stuff. But before we get deep into it, kind of give people an introduction about yourself, who you are, how you became an artist, and how you found your way into podcasting.
All right, well, first of all, thank you, Joe, for putting out my government so people can find me on Facebook now.
Yes. I'm good for doing that. I am. I like to make people find me.
Very good.
Yeah, I started my life as Emmanuel, but now I go by Enigma September. Started rapping when I was 14. Really took it serious around 2001. I linked up with my cousin. I was known as Raven October. Y'all may know him as Willie, since we give not government names. Yeah, we started a group named Flame Millia back in 2001, dropped a few mixtapes, and then around 2008, I had this grand idea of, we had a crew called The Network. We had different MCs. Matter of fact, shout out to my man Dermo, it's his birthday today, but I had an idea of each member of the group having a radio show or what's now known as a podcast, and then we'll come together and have one big show, which was called The Fire Show. We actually did a few episodes of The Fire Show, which was all of us coming together and just kind of like letting people know who we are and being able to play our own music. So we had The Fire Show, and then with that, I started the Enigma Sep Hour, and everybody was supposed to have their own joint, and that didn't happen. And then The Fire Show died. But I kept the Enigma Sep Hour going. I started off really with a kind of a Steve Harvey format, and even had a Sherry Strawberry, if you will. So I thought my girl Joni out of New Orleans. But then I thought I'd switch it up and kind of go with more so of a Jon Stewart Daily Show format. And then I hooked up with, what was it, Lil Kiki Figure? I think that was the little local label. They was tied in with Total Chaos. May he rest in peace.
Yeah, I think that was Lil Kiki.
Yeah. And I hooked up with somebody with them, and they would feed me artists to interview on the show. This way ain't nobody know anything about me at that point, or at least not about the show. So they would feed me artists, but then, like, other artists started, like, checking in, like, yo, how can I get on? I'm like, yo, buddy feeding me. So once he stopped feeding me, I got you. So they eventually ran out of artists, and so I started picking up other artists. And, I just picked up from that. So I did that for 5 years, from 2008 to 2013, and then linked up with the Underground Railroad up at WVFS 89.7, is a college radio station over at Florida State University. And I've been, you know, co-hosting that show since then. So shout out my man JC, who's the main host. He's been doing it for about 11 years now. So primarily, you know, it's me and him rocking it. Matter of fact, yesterday, he was busy, so I was controlling the boards myself. So, yeah. And then now, you know, so many years later, like Joe said, we hooked up at the Oshun concert or whatever, and yeah, now we on board to relaunch the Enigma Sep Hour here on the Freedom Train Network, and ready to get it popping. Now you guys are all caught up to speed.
Going down in the side.
Yeah, yeah, man.
All right, Pat, it's your time to freestyle. You always want to freestyle. Go, Pat. It's your time to freestyle. It's the right perfect
show.
Here we go.
My bad. I was drinking water.
Water.
So I got a story to tell too.
Go ahead.
So back in the day, when it wasn't no AIDS,
wasn't no AK.
Yeah, Afro Puffs. So
and underarm hair. I got you.
Right.
Whoa.
Okay. So I was doing music. I was never trying to be like a serious rapper. I was always trying to be a ghostwriter. But I hooked up with dude named John Boy who made beats, and when he was in Tallahassee, now he's in Fort Lauderdale or Fort Worth or somewhere with a Ford on it. Anyways, but we made we did a song together that was supposed to be an anthem for A50 called 10 Minutes to 9. And I think it was my sister that put me in touch with Enigma for his show. I think it was. I could be wrong. I don't know. It was a long time
ago.
Chill out. It was her?
I think it was, yeah.
So she put me onto his show, and I got, you know, he interviewed me, and he played the record. He pretended like he liked it. And so I was actually on his show back then as an artist, which was, for me, it was my first time being interviewed as an artist. I actually got interviewed a couple more times, ironically, for that exact same song. And they all pretended like they liked it, so I assumed that it must have been pretty decent. But I want you to know, it was cool because that was my first interview. So I was like, yo, so that's cool. Like, so he interviewed me all them years ago, and now I'm interviewing him. That's kind of like how the world works. It's kind of, you know, like mind blown and shit. Like, you, all
right,
Joe.
Right.
It is what it is. That's good, man. That's good. Nah, but that's cool because All of us at one point rapped. I know, Enigma, you're the only one that's still MCing right now, but I you know, I used to rap. Matter of fact, I was, Enigma, you remember Cameron Huff?
Yeah.
So I was with him and Mike, Black Mike. I was with them earlier, and when I was getting out of Cam's car, I just happened to look down, and in his side little compartment of his door, it's one of the old CDs that me and Caleb made when we was rapping back in the day. So now it's kind of ironic that we all kind of hear it at this point. But I mean, you are one of the ones who have been in the game for a minute. You've been holding it down for a minute. So like, what has kept you going as far as hip hop and as an artist? What has kept you going? Because like, you know, I know for me, I got this grown up with the game and the business, but You still here? What keep you going?
Yo, that's a good question. And speaking of Black, yeah, we got a track with Black, man. Matter of fact, unfortunately, one of the dudes on the track, he passed away a couple of weeks ago. He was buried on Saturday, but yeah, that and damn, what else? It was something else I want to think of. But anyway, back to the question. Biggie. Biggie kept me going. Oddly enough, Biggie was going to be the reason why I was going to stop, because around that time, around 08, you know, me and Raven October, we was inching the 30, and I remember Biggie saying, you know, I don't want to be that 30-year-old rapper out here trying to do something an 18-year-old can do or do better. So I was thinking, like, yo, I'm about to be 30. Like, I'm about to be done. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got a college degree. I'm going to go in and do something real, quote, you know, quotation marks. But in 09, Notorious, the movie dropped. And after watching the movie, I had an epiphany that even though Big said that, you know, even though he said he didn't want to be rapping at 30, I realized he had an opportunity to. You know what I'm saying? Because he was taken out at an early age. Right. And so I felt like, you know, I had to keep going for him. You know what I'm saying? I had to do it because he had an opportunity. He probably would have changed his mind had he got to, you know, 29, 30 or whatever. So actually my first project was a promise I made to Big after I watched Notorious. Was like I was going to at least drop one more project, one solo project in his memory or whatever, just because I knew he couldn't do it. And so then around the time, I was probably like a year into the Enigma Self-Hour. So Enigma Self-Hour really kept me in the game. But as far as, like, the music and stuff, it was that promise to Big that I would at least drop, you know what I'm saying, one project in his memory. And that's what Tales of a College Grad Nothing was, you know, for the most part, my promise to Big that I'd do that.
That's what's up, man. Now, that's what's up. I mean, because, like I say, I got disgruntled with the whole, all the politics and everything that went with the rap game. But I guess what's ironic is, with me being an author and a podcaster now, it's not the rap game, but you still got to learn how to make your way. So it's like, you're not really too far from that lane either way. It's not music, but you're still creating things and you're getting people interested in it. So, but the fact that you're still here, you're still pushing forth, and you're still making good music, man, that's a testament to you. Definitely hat goes off to you for that.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. And, I mean, really just it go back to just being creative. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've thought about and probably will pursue, you know, writing as well. Because, that's, right. I mean, if anything, that's been the constant. You know, like I said, I got a degree in journalism. You know, I've written for The Democrat. You know, I'm still in media. And especially with social media, you know, there's a lot of opportunity to be creative. You know what I'm saying? Different aspects, whether it's, you know, blogs or podcasts or just creating new content. That's what's important, creating content, creating constant content, and creating quality content, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, so that's what, more so than just the music, you know, I'm trying to bring content and keep myself creative because that's what keep me, you know, going outside of my daughter, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
That's what keep me going is being able to create. You know, I love creating. I've always loved creating since I was in third grade. So, that's what keep me, you know, in the fold.
Okay.
So you said that you were going to drop at least one more project. And let me tell you, first off, not only am I happy that you're bringing the show back, but I was happy when I found out that you were back into music, because before we did the show, I had found out that you were doing music, and this was all those years ago. And then, you know, like most people that are doing music, you know, you got away from it. But then when I found out you had went back to it, to me it's always kind of like motivational or empowering to see people coming back to a love they used to have, because quite often when you walk away from it, it's hard to get back, or especially when it comes to making music, you know, the social stigmas are there. You shouldn't go back, you know, and we look at like a lot, it seems like most rappers, at least when we were coming up, they weren't really popping until their late 20s, early 30s anyways. But the perception was that these was young dudes doing it at young ages. So it created that stigma and all that. So I wanted to applaud you for even having the courage to go back. Like, I still write. I still do poetry. But like when I think about dropping a mixtape or an album or something like that, like, I'm like, ah. So the courage to even go back again. Where's the fat man in the shirt at?
Hey man, we was waiting on you, dog. You was keep talking. I ain't gonna do it. I was doing it, man.
Yeah. So
the
fat man in the shirt.
We stay ready. We was ready. We ain't want to cut you off, but we was ready.
No, it's cool. I appreciate you and the man in the shirt. But so to get back to my question, you know, you said that you wanted to at least drop one more album. Does that mean that this is gonna be your last album?
I mean, since then, I have dropped another album. The Tales of a College Grad Nothing was my first solo project. My first, like, complete project. Matter of fact, I want to say it was my first, like, real, real project, because when I was with, and I can say Will, because y'all know who I'm talking about. When I was with Will, like, we only did, we primarily only did mixtapes. You know what I'm saying? We was beat jacking. Even when we did get original beats, it was still, we get too much trouble. We were still just jacking beats off SoundClick. You know what I'm saying? Oh, that producer didn't put a tag on it? Snatch. So, this project, or for Tales of a College Grad Nothing, you know, it's the first project where I was like, I'm talking to the producer, I'm buying the beat from him, I'm actually going to, you know, somebody else's studio for once, and I'm actually, you know, having somebody else press record, because, you know, when it was me and Will, it was DIY. You know, we was in our own closet. Yeah. It was like, you hit the computer and then run to the closet and try to close it. Yeah, it was, and then go back and try to edit that door swing. Like, oh, no, I don't hear that. and that made me realize, like, Will was a genius, man, because, like, he figured out that programming and that computer. Like, we had a computer problem. This fool had no training. Like, he ain't got no degree. He ain't go to nobody class, but he knew how to figure that thing out. And I still wish he would go back to school and, you know, in computer engineering or something, because he figured that thing out and it was crazy. But yeah, so we used to do it that way, but this time it was me hooking up my man Outlaw Beats, who really got me in the fold, and just going to his crib, recording or whatever, and actually like having somebody else do all the producing stuff and all the editing. Honestly, like, what got me into it again, because I wanted to do it, but it took a while. Like I said, Notorious came out in 2009. I didn't drop Tales of a College Grad Nothing until 2015. But what got me into it was when I was at the Underground Railroad, and my man Stess, the MC, he was dropping projects. He was just doing, like, these little EPs or whatever. And so when I realized, like, yo, you know, I ain't really got to try to put together some 12, 13-track album, you know, with all this other stuff. Like, I can really just, you know, nickel and dime my way through 5 songs, 6 songs, you know, get a good cover art, and then just put it out. You know what I'm saying? And then also, too, at the time, because the way music was being distributed was changing to where, you know, you didn't have to try to put it in the store. You know what I'm saying? But if it was back in 06 or even 03, like, the best thing you probably could do at that time was try to holler at Vinyl Fever and be like, hey, let me get this consignment. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, in 2014, 2015, you know, you can go through SoundCloud, or you can go through Bandcamp, or you can go through AudioMac, or even then I realized there was a site that would put your music on streaming apps like Spotify and Tidal and Apple Music or whatever, and Google Music. So it just made it a lot easier to be, you know, kind of a local or independent rapper. And also, too, I guess with the age thing is that, you know, hip-hop has gotten older itself. You know what I'm saying? Some of the biggest rappers are 30-plus, almost 40-plus at this time. Like, Rick Ross almost 40. Kanye is 40. You know, Jay-Z is way past, almost 50. You know what I'm saying? So the stigma of being, like, a 30-year-old rapper isn't there like it was, you know, in the 90s or even the early 2000s. You know, now, and then you got cats that were coming in the game later. Like, Jay-Z didn't start till he was 26. You know, Eminem was 25. DMX was 26 when they started their debut album. So yeah, that stigma, I mean, it's still a young man's game. But the ideal of, you know, being an older rapper isn't as bad. And also, too, because hip-hop has gotten older, and that's why I try to explain to people, like, I look at it as if I'm that – you know how you look at rock and roll and you have, like, those old guys that go to a local bar and have, like, a jam session? Because they used to, you know, they probably had a band when they was in high school back in, like, the 70s. But then they'll go to, you know, a local bar and just jam out, you know, because they still got love for the music, even though they probably got other careers or whatever and got families and this, that, and the third. Like, hip-hop has gotten to that point. where you have people who probably were rapping, probably was doing something significant in their 20s, but never really blew up on a national level, but they still want to stay in the game. So it's nothing to hit a bar up and be like, yo, let me get three acts that may be, you know, in their late 20s, early 30s, that can actually perform and bring people in, because they've always had a small following in this town. So I think that's where hip-hop is at this point. It's like we're at that, you know, that rock and roll stage where you have local acts that still want to, you know, keep the dream alive.
Right. Right. Now, because I've always not liked the fact that hip-hop was seen strictly as a young man's game, because my argument always is hip-hop itself is still young. So I'm with you when I want Jay-Z to keep dropping albums. I heard there's a new Busta. Matter of fact, I was scrolling through Instagram, and Ninth Wonder said the new Busta Rhymes album was fire. So
right.
For me, like the rappers I grew up listening to, I don't care if they're 40, 50, or 60. If you still busting flows, your songs still hard, I say keep dropping albums, because I just feel like, yes, hip-hop is a young man's game, but hip-hop itself is young, so let it grow. But we still need the OG class, and they shouldn't just be thrown away because they're 40-plus. You know, that's where I am with that particular mindset of what happens to rappers as they get older, you know.
Yeah, I think, speaking of Jay-Z, I think what made the impact of his last joint at 444, the impact may be that you may have older rappers that will come with material that speaks to their age group, because that age group is still vital, you know what I'm saying? And granted, you had other albums before then, like you could say Nas's Life Is Good, like he was talking about, you know, divorce and being a father of an adult daughter, you know what I'm saying? So even on that album, he was really kind of talking about, you know, middle age situations. But I think with 444 and the success of it, I think you may, at least I hope that you're going to have more middle age rap that's, you know, that's out there. Not just, you know, like you said, Rakim come with an album, people kind of like brush it on the side, despite the fact he's arguably the greatest rapper of all time.
Right.
But people would say, oh, that's Rakim. But I'm talking about like a rapper putting out an album, talking about, you know, becoming a grandfather, and it's still selling, or it's still being relevant to the culture. So I do think that's going to happen, you know what I'm saying, especially with the success of 444.
Yeah, that's what's up. So let me ask this, the Enigma Set Hour. Could you give, like, the listeners a little more details about what the show is and kind of what they can expect when they're listening to the Enigma Set Hour?
Yeah, I'm trying to keep it, like, you know what I'm saying, pretty simple. There's pretty much two segments of the show. The first 30 minutes will be me just reviewing, you know what I'm saying, the game, the hip-hop game or whatever. I used to, on the old show, I used to give, like, numbers, like Billboard numbers, like who's 1, 2, 3, whatever. But that's so up in the air nowadays due to the game changing and streaming and all of that stuff. So probably just going to stick to just like hip-hop news and kind of give like a satirical spin to it, you know what I'm saying? So expect to, you know, hear jokes and laughs and whatever. It's not going to be, you know, ain't going to be Dan Rather being all serious with giving the hip-hop news.
Right.
But then the second half would be I have the interview where I interview local or independent artists. Like, granted, if I can get a signed artist or a major artist, I'm definitely going to shoot that shot. But primarily it would be, you know, independent local artists or whatever, and just giving them shine, you know, playing a couple of their tracks. Typically, we'll do an introduction, play their track, come back, you know what I'm saying? I'll play two tracks if they got two, and then, you know, finish it out, let them do a promo, whatever. And I try to tell artists, like, it's a way for them to sell themselves, you know what I'm saying? So whatever their personality is, like, let that shine. You know, if you're a funny guy, be that funny guy. If you're a hardcore guy, be a hardcore guy. Like, let people know why they should be interested in your music. Because unfortunately nowadays people buy into it because of your personality, not because of the music.
Mm-hmm.
It's more so about being a character, unfortunately. And I mean, I was saying that back in 08, 09, 2010, but it's now even more so now. You got the Tekashi 69s and the, all these other cats that do more trolling than music because people buy into that celebrity. So for me, kind of like what Pat, what I'm saying? They say he came on, that was like his first interview. Like, it's kind of like a luncheon pad. Like, hey, I ain't like super mad famous, so you can come in, you can mess up, you can do whatever, but use it as a training ground, to really get an idea of who you are, how you come across or whatever, and then just go from there.
There you go.
Well, that's needed, though. Like, I still remember that interview because it was my first and it was live, and I learned that I didn't know it all. Like, I had a lot of work to fucking do, especially when it came to doing interviews and stuff, so... What you're saying is needed because I've definitely seen a lot of these young. Like, I remember the first time I saw a Lil Uzi Vert interview. It was.
In that train.
It was bad. Like, it was just bad. Like, there ain't no other word for it. I don't like his music at all. But beyond that, like, you at least, as an older dude, I'm at least looking to see, like, are you at least human?
Right.
He didn't even come off as human. Like, I don't know who prepped him, if he was prepped. Or it was just an interview after interview after interview. What I'm seeing of these people, like, it's like, damn, are we just not training people for how to conduct interviews, how to deal with the media, how to deal with the audience? Like even the people doing the interviews, are they after the fact being like, look, man, like, that was, so what you just said to me was powerful because you were the first person to interview me. I remember that, and I like the fact that I can say even back then, I remember you made me feel at home during the interview. Like, you made me feel like this was a safe space for me to just open up and talk, and that was something that was cool because I wasn't expecting that in an interview. Like, I was expecting to be stiff the whole time, and here it is. We a couple minutes. So, she was live, man. She was live. I got fond memories of that interview.
Yeah, man. That was just Libra swag, what I mean? Libra swag, I talk to people like, hey. It's all good.
Yeah.
It's important, man, but what you get is, like I said, a lot of these cats, they kind of just blow up, like, off, like, just really out of nowhere, literally. I think with Uzi Vert, with Yachty, with, like, Tekashi 69, like, a lot of these cats just blow up, like, out of nowhere, Lil Pump, like, and so, yeah, it blows up overnight because, they've been doing stuff on the internet, they were behind a computer, and they really computer nerds. But then now all of a sudden they get dressed up, they put color in their hair, they got this like colorful personality, but they don't know how to talk to grown folks because they've been on the computer the whole time.
Right.
So, and people that put them on, they just put them on because they're just trying to get money. They're not worrying about artist development, And that's what, kind of like with J. Cole when he did the joint, at Lil Pump, That's what he was alluding to. Like, look, they just putting you out there. They ain't setting you up for success, bro. So, yeah, it's cool. You doing your thing now, but if you keep doing what you're doing now, you're going to be on Love & Hip Hop trying to get
straight
these
up.
Scraps
straight
from Mona Scott because now, you are a media trained. Nobody taught you how to make connections in the industry or whatever, and you're going to get shut out. Once you ain't got a hot song, ain't nobody dealing with you no more.
Yeah, I saw something the other day.
Your ass is gonna come up missing.
Yeah, Tekashi, man, he's trying very, very, very hard. Now it's funny. I saw a video of him the other day. The grill that he got in his mouth is so ridiculous. He got all these different colors in these stones. It's so ridiculous you can barely talk. And Buddy was like, "I got a My Little Pony chain with real hair," and I'm just sitting there looking at it like, that 10 years from now, you're going to wish you wouldn't have brought none of that stuff. But it's like,
right.
But now for, this for the both of you, but start with you, Emmanuel. Like, what's your ideas? What's your thoughts on, like, the state of hip-hop? Is hip-hop good? Is it horrible right now? Because, you know, you have what you have mainstream radio music, but then you have the music that's not on the radio. And I know I myself have been able to find that there's a lot of good music, a lot of good artists out here who are not necessarily on the radio. So overall, what's your feelings of the state of hip-hop right now?
Actually, I have a very positive outlook on hip-hop right now. I think the music is probably the best it's been in the past 10, maybe 15 years. And even with the younger cats. Like I say younger because, I mean, oddly enough, when you think about the J. Cole's and the Kendrick Lamar's and the Big Crits, like, them dudes, like, already past 30. They're, like, 33, yeah. 31. Even Drake is, like, 31. So,
right.
So it's crazy to think that they're young when, like we were just saying, you know, back in the, you call it a young man's game, but those at top is in their 30s. Like, they should be past their prime, according to Biggie. But, like, even this year, like, I've heard it time and time again, people saying, like, this 2018, at least the first half of 2018 has been dope, you know what I'm saying, from Nipsey Hussle to everything, yeah, like, from Black Sox. For real, 98. Yeah. It seems like any year ending with an 8, you're going to get classic.
Yeah, that's what this reminded me of, man.
Yeah, it's. I mean, like Nipsey Hussle, Sky Zoo, just J. Cole.
What's your boy? Win. J-Rock, yeah, J-Rock. They say
J-Rock.
I haven't heard of him, but it's great praise about that. Who else? That Sci High the Prince was hard.
Yeah, like it's a lot of dope music that's coming out like consistently or whatever. But the thing is, you're not gonna get it on the radio. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You're not, and that's why it's important with these podcasts. And I know we're gonna try to get into that later, but that's why even with, you know, podcasts or even playlists, like that's why it's important that people kind of dig into that because the radio's still behind. It's slow. It's a dinosaur of the game or whatever. So yeah, if you listen to the radio, you're gonna be like, "What the hell? The hell is
right.
this?" You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Get this out of my ear. But if you know, pay attention to the blogs and the podcasts and the playlists and all the other stuff and kind of, you know, on Twitter and Instagram and kind of keep your ear to the streets, you're going to get quality music. It's quality music out there because the industry can't stifle it as much. You know, you can't try to pinpoint and say this is what the game should sound like. You know what I'm saying? And granted, you do have a lot of whack stuff. But even with that, I still try to find the silver lining in it. You know what I'm saying? Like, some stuff is just completely out of here. Like, I can't get with Yachty. And it's not because he knew. He just sounds lazy.
Yeah,
sounds like he doesn't try.
Yeah.
And I can't do that. You know what I'm saying?
Like, Lonzo Ball. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like, bro, like, you that's how you don't try. I can't get with it. But, I mean, a lot of people criticize Migos. But I like Migos. Like, I do think Migos are dope. I think they may be a little bit overrated by newer cats, but like if you listen to them, like they saying something. Like, granted, it's still the regular gangster crap, but they still putting words together. They still making comparisons, whatever, and they doing it with a flow mm-hmm. that they essentially, even though we know they took it from 3-6 Mafia and speed rappers from Chicago. But they still took it as their own, and they doing something with it. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I can't knock them. You know what I'm saying? But then also too, I think a lot of these newer rappers, and I'm gonna set my trap. I think what's crazy to me with like newer rappers like Triple X, Tashion, may he rest in peace, Juice WRLD, like a lot of these cats, it's like super weird because me growing up, like I used to listen to a lot of grunge and like post grunge rock, Like, I came up on Nirvana and Soundgarden and Rage Against the Machine and Linkin Park and Stain, like all this stuff. Like, outside of just rap, that's what I used to listen to. That's what they're doing. They're doing a lot of post-grunge, like, rock stuff. And that's why they're doing all the harmonies and the melodies or whatever. The only difference is they're just doing the over-trap beats. But it's essentially, like, Linkin Park stuff. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, even the topic that they're talking about. And so it's bugged out to me because, of course, for the young people, because they didn't start listening to music till 2006, it sounds new to them. But to me, I'm like, bro, this ain't this Blink 182. What y'all talking about? Like, we was damn near this type of stuff back in like 97. Like, this ain't new, but for the young cats, that's what it is. And so I get that. You know, even with Triple X Tentacion, I listened to, I think it was the 17 album. As a rap album, nah, it wasn't. To me, it wasn't hip hop. But instead of me criticizing it or looking at it as a hip hop album, I listened to it as just music. And when I did that, I was like, okay, now I see why they praise this guy for his music. Because if I look at it especially if I look at it in the lens of like a post grunge, you know, rock album with just hip hop beats, yeah, he got talent. He know how to write. And in that sense it's dope. But if I look at it on some strict hip hop looking for bars, I'm gonna be like, man, get this guy out of here.
Right. Now I see you. It is a great contrast in the game. Now, it's funny that you're saying that because I just came across the Nicki Minaj Tekashi 6ix9ine little video or whatever. And it just looked crazy.
He's desperate.
Yeah, of course, man. Well, you know after the Sheetha, man, you know she ain't been the same after Sheetha, man. So you know, the Young Money been catching L's over there, man. They've been catching L's.
No. Yo, real talk, no one is going to remember. Matter of fact, because I wasn't even under my now Twitter name. Like, now it's Nick Myself 9, but my original was Nick Myself. And I called the downfall of Cash Money like 6 years ago, around 2012. And what happened was Nicki had dropped a video. I think it was, like, I think the second video for Pink Print or whatever. And in the video, she had more negative, she had more like thumbs down than thumbs up.
Yeah.
And you know, when I saw that, I was like, all right, the tide turning. This is when I was like, they finna fall off. And I remember why I tweeted it, because people was like, man, you crazy. You with Cash Money. They hot right now. They got the three hottest rappers in the game right now. I was like, yep. But they finna, just like Cash Money did, just like Rockefeller, just like, the Diplomats, like, they have this peak, and then they start to fall off. I'm like, this is the indication of them falling off. And lo and behold, and I said it. I was like, Wayne going to be straight because he Wayne. Like, he's legendary in the game. He good. I was like, Drake going to be straight because he pretty much started his own stuff or whatever. I was like, Drake going to break apart. He's going to be doing his own thing, and he's not going to need Young Money. And I was like, Nicki, she's going to be straight for a minute, but then she's going to kind of falter off because her fame is kind of more tied in to Wayne putting her on more so than her kind of – even though she did have her own thing because she was signed to Big Cat Records or whatever, but she's going to kind of – hers going to fall off the hardest because she's a female rapper and because she tied in to Wayne. And I was like, everybody else is going to completely fall off. It's going to be a wrap.
Lo
and behold, like, that's what happened. But I saw that back in 2012. When she dropped that video, she had more negative reviews. I was like, yeah, this is the beginning of the end. They was hot. It was super hot at that time. She had just dropped the Monsterverse. She had a Monsterverse on Kanye joint. I think Drake was about to drop his second album, Take Care. Like, it was hot. It was red hot at the time. And nobody listened. Well, I was like, man, this is the beginning of the end. And lo and behold, that's where they at.
Hey.
Plus, she broke up with Safari. That was she messed up at.
Yeah, he was supplying her with the bars, basically.
Everybody know that. Everybody. That's what I was looking for. When they said she left Safari and started dating Meek Mills, I was like, if she don't put out a project in the next year, I was like, Safari was writing the bars. And lo and behold, it's been 3 years and she ain't put out nothing yet. Like, Safari was writing the bars, man. And granted, Nicki a great performer, I give her that. But I can't give her no greatest of all time because clearly Safari was the engine behind that, man.
Yeah.
I don't even like her performances. She's just too.
Nah, I gotta get Nicki. Nicki crazy, man. That's that my MonsterVerse. That would hurt me because I love that MonsterVerse. Like she killed, especially to go against Jay and Kanye, and kill it. But it's like I can't give her the writing credit, man. Like
she can definitely deliver a bar. I think her for me personally. Her performance is just too over. It's just too much. It's too much. But her delivery, the way she delivered her bars, she definitely delivered them shit.
She's a performer.
The delivery was always on point.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. That's how I kind of look at Kev, like, when it comes down to the ghostwriting thing. That's the only thing you can really judge them on. You know what I'm saying? So when you look at a Puffy or a Dr. Dre, Foxy Brown, it's kind of like, we know they ain't writing the bars, so the only thing I can really rate you on is how you delivering them, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And to me, that's what Nicki at. And I'm still on the, or even Kanye. Like, I love Kanye, but Kanye, as far as a writer, as an MC, I can't give him them props. But
right.
He can deliver, and he definitely a great producer. You know what I'm saying? But as far as, like, putting him, like, top 10 MCs of all time, like, nah. Because you ain't
write
your bars, bro. That's consequence in Ron Fest. You good?
Yeah. But it's like, but I think one of the best things about hip-hop, though, for every Nicki Minaj, you have a Rhapsody. So we
right.
know it's
right.
we know that the game for female rappers is not bad. And there are a lot of female MCs from the UK who killing it, too.
Right.
I don't know if I agree with that.
What you mean?
You said for every Nicki Minaj, there's a Rhapsody.
Yeah.
I say for every Rhapsody, there's 10 Nicki Minajs. I don't know that I agree that there's a one-for-one trade happening there.
No, I think probably not on the mainstream, but no, I do think as many chicks you get that think they got to sell their body or try to come with this, you know, street flashy vibe or whatever, you got a lot of like real MCs, you know what I'm saying? Like, and hey, I always love like female rappers, you know what I'm saying? I know some people don't like, I know some of them don't like getting tagged as MCs or female rappers, but I think they kind of have a chip on their shoulder because they know that they got to come extra with it because they got to prove their point because they know why they're going to believe that they can spit. But, no, there's a lot of, like, lyrical. Matter of fact, even in Tallahassee, like, probably the three dopest MCs out of Tallahassee were female MCs. That's with my girl Kim D, who's at Rick, out of Rick. My girl C-Red, who she graduated from Childs or whatever. C-Red is super dope. And my girl Versada Everything, you know what I'm saying? Versada from down south, but, you know, she started popping up here. And, like, they were dope. Like, and they were, like, real MCs, you know what I'm saying? Not even, like, on some tomboy tip. Like, they wore their womanhood. They wore their femininity, but they also spit, like, dope shit, you know what I'm saying? So, I think, but I do think on the mainstream, you don't see that balance. That's true. But I do think there is for every, you know, every chick that want to be the next Nicki or the next Cardi B, you know, you got another chick on the underground that's really, you know, spitting these lyrics and telling, like, true-to-life stories.
No, I agree, and personally, I tend to lean towards female rappers anyways, the ones that can rap, and that's a personal
right.
preference for me. I think the female voice sonically sits better in instrumentation, and that's just me thinking about it from a sonic perspective with my own perspective and my own bias, so I'm admitting that. So I like, for me, listening to female spit is pleasure. It not only is it tending to be more pleasurable because their voices sonically fit better in the music. But when they can spit, you know, it's to me, it's always exciting to hear a female go off, especially if she's going off on some real shit. Especially because like the culture we live in is not really expected. So, but I just, like, when I did my stint, because I was ghostwriting and I was audio engineer, right? And I would have people parading through my house to record music, men and women. And this wasn't just in Tallahassee, because I brought my studio from Tallahassee to Tallahassee from Delaware. And while I was in Delaware, I would have people parading in from Philly, from New York, from Baltimore, from D.C., and you know, people would just be coming in. And just my experience from what I saw being engaged in the scene, especially up there, and then I didn't really get too engaged in Tallahassee, but even from the little bit that I did see in North Florida, for every decent lyricist that I came across, I just came across 10 to 15 to 20 dudes that are females that just had no concern about the message that they were putting out.
Right.
Just no concern about lyrics whatsoever. They just wanted to be on the music. And I'm talking about, and this is back, like when I was up there in Dover, this is back in 2005, 2006, before mumble rap really popped off. We had guys coming up with no paper, and they would be like, all right, just turn the beat on and I'm going to go because I'm nice. And they would literally make noises for 3 minutes.
Right.
I'm being legit. Yeah. So that's been my experience. So for me, I'm like, when I look out at the landscape, and we see it even now, like, I know in the underground you got dope stuff. I like Joyner Lucas. I like Logic is decent. They're probably the two guys I like now that are what you would call new, but both of them are like 28 or 29. So when I look at the cats that are like born in the 90s and later, so they'd be what, like 28 right now or 27 right now and younger. Like, I'm looking at guys like Lil Yachty and Uzi Vert and Lil Peep and Lil Prep and Lil Xan and Lil Rez and a whole bunch of goddamn little motherfuckers that don't want to grow up and be grown men. I'm not seeing the, you know what, Emmanuel, when you said that they're grunge hip-hop, that's the first time anybody has ever made sense of the new generation of music for me. I had never thought about it from that perspective. But the moment you said it, I was like, you know what? He's right. That's exactly what the fuck is happening. And to me, that's going backwards. That's almost like going back to the origin of hip-hop when it was really about being colorful and it was about, you know, it was about being a goddamn trying to take over the disco era and the oversized this and the super that and the dress codes and the names and the, like, that's going backwards. Lyrics got introduced later, and now we're at a point where lyricism seems to be, like, there seems to be an age requirement on lyricism. Like, if you were born after the 90s, you can't be a lyricist. That's what it seems like. And I don't
I'm not
seeing anything in the underground from young kids, even here in Charlotte, that's making me think, all right, well, maybe there is a lyrical movement happening in the under. I'm just not seeing it.
Nah, it's some cats, like, here in Tallahassee, even though they ain't disbanded, but they all kind of just moved or whatever. But you got this group Cap Six, which is a bunch of, like, 20, they all, like, 23, 24 now. So when they first came in the scene, they had to be, like, 19, 20. And they were, like, lyrical, like, super lyrical. Well, actually, half of them was, like, super lyrical, and the other half was really kind of more of flow, but they still were saying something. And even, like, with them and the shows that they would do, like, I would see younger acts that were still kind of in that vein or whatever. But, yeah, that, as far as, like, the grunge thing, like, yeah, that, I'm probably the only person that peeped that. So, like, it wasn't something like I read and it was like, oh, that makes sense. Like, I was, like I said, it really came from listening to the Triple X Kid, and like, I was like, okay, as rap, this doesn't vibe. But if I listen to this as if it was, you know, Chester Bennington, like, yeah, I see where it's coming from. And it kind of go back to, I remember it was something I read about with Kurt Cobain, and he was saying with his lyrics, like, his lyrics really didn't have meaning. He was just saying whatever sounded nice. And I think that's what the kids are doing. Like, whatever just kind of, like, roll off their tongue, if it sound nice and whatever cadence they're in, then that's what they're gonna go with.
But where's the artistry in that?
They don't care about artistry. You got like that's why I like the group Oshun that I talked about at the top of the show. That's why I like them, because they are like a throwback mix, but still got the new school flavor. So they got flow, they got lyrics, they can sing, and it's like Badu, Lauryn Hill, and some of the women that we grew up with respecting. Like, if they had daughters, their daughters are out here making this music. So, you know.
Exactly. That's a perfect.
Right. And so they are, when you were talking about young kids, they like 19, 20. So they are like two of the ones that's off the top of my head that I could think. Probably the only ones who are that young and actually got real content in their music. I'm sure it's others, but we just can't really think of them right now. But.
Yeah, I think it's just you just gotta look for them. You know what I'm saying? It's not like I say. I think with Oshun, like, I didn't even know about them until, like, again, I think Intricate or somebody was opening up for them, and so that's how I heard about the show. But it's just, you have to be in that circle, and if you're not in that not circle, but you have to kind of have an ear to the ground, what's going on, and if you don't, then yeah, you're gonna look at what's on TV and be like, what the hell is going on? But it's there's some acts. It's just you have to grind and try to find them versus thinking they're just going to be given to you, because that's not going to happen. But my thing is this, in regards to the artistry of it, I get the idea of using flow, and that's what they call the wave, and using that as a way to express yourself. But, again, what I look for is not necessarily if it's going to be lyrical or not. I look for effort. I look for what are you trying to put across. And that's where I go back to, like, when I look at Yachty, like, I can't vibe with him because it's like, yo, this just sounds lazy, bro. Like, it sounds like you're not trying to do anything versus, you know, I listen to Juice WRLD, and I wasn't impressed lyrically, but I understood that what he was trying to come across. And so for that, I can respect it somewhat because, like, okay, you know, he ain't coming with bars. This man is literally singing. But, okay, I see, you know, he telling a little story. He coming with these, you know, melodies or whatever. I get that.
No, I'm with you on that regard. I look at technical things, but at the end of the day, if I feel like you tried to give me a good song, I can respect that. So I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm with you in terms of also saying that's a lot of my beef with a lot of the younger guys, like the Lil Yachty's and the Lil Uzi Verts and all of those guys, you know. So, you know, when I'm saying artistry, I'm just, like, that's my way of saying where's the effort, you know what I'm saying? Like, where is you taking the time, sitting down? You don't even have to have a message. Just show me that you care enough about your rhymes to structure real bars. Like,
right.
I don't, like, you could be saying, like, Scooby-Doo went up to tube and fell out of the whatever, no meaning whatsoever. But if you sat down and took the time to scheme correctly and just syllable counts right and, you know, like, you wanted to just make it flow, I can vibe with that. I like a lot of bullshit songs. I'm not even going to front. Because they sound good.
We all do.
We all got guilty pleasures.
Yeah. So I'm just like, you know, like, and then for me as a poet, somebody that still writes, there's that as well. So I got to admit my bias in that regard as well. And I openly admit that. But when we talk about cause, and I say that, and I'm crucial, and Joe know I'm crucial. I think that's why he set me up for failure. Because I'm a recovering, I'm just now really coming to the conclusion that over the last 4 or 5 years, I think, I've stopped liking hip-hop as a culture. I still like the poetic nature of rap. I still like the technical aspect of putting words together. But in terms of just the culture, the music, what it stands for nowadays, and that's not with the older guys because a lot of them have matured, but hip-hop is a young man's game, and the young kids are largely defining what the culture is moving forward. I just don't see a lot to like about that. So I was real interested in how you answered the other question, and you provided some perspectives I hadn't even thought about before, especially with regards to the grunge thing. I'm going to be thinking about that for the next few weeks because I listened to I listened to grunge music. I did, you know, and even when you made reference to the Blink 182, I listened to Blink 182. I still think Encore with them and that was Linkin Park. That wasn't Blink 182. But anyways, I listened to Linkin Park too. So right. I get all of that and I like that. And that, you know, I'm going to be thinking about that to shift my perspective even further. But I'm looking at the hip-hop scene, the culture now, and even with battle rap. Battle rap's my biggest guilty pleasure. It really is. I love it, but I hate it at the same time.
Yeah, you do like battle rap.
I love battle rap, yeah. But I can't fucking stand it at the same goddamn time. It tears me apart. But I see that, and when they're all talking about the culture and the battle rap scene and this, that, and the third, the culture of what? Shooting people in the face and wetting them up and fucking their kids in the throat in the fishbowl. Like, what are we excited about?
Right. No, I think, I don't know, battle rap. I mean, I respect it. I get the creativity behind it or whatever. I know I ain't no battle rapper. Or if I am, like, I'll battle you on wax. Like, I'll make a song about you. But I don't know about this standing in front of you sounding all Shakespearean, you know, to be or not to be the illest MC in the planet.
That's why I like it.
When I come and get there, I'm like, that's not my spiel, but hey, yeah, that's what you do. And shout out to my man Bravo because he got a joint coming up on the 2nd here in Tallahassee. Bravo really been, he been on it. He really been on it, and he got some joint. Let me see if I can find it. It's gonna be on the 2nd. I know he posted it on my page, but he got some cats battling whatever. But like I know for him, like that's been his spiel the past couple of years or whatever. And so I mean it's there. Like I just know it's not my cup of tea. I listen to him. I'm just not, well, I mean, my cup of tea, like, I'm not, like, that fan, you know what I'm saying? Like some cats, they be knowing these cats' names, they be saying, yo, this person better than that person, they may have a stat.
I ain't that deep.
Like,
no, I ain't that deep.
Nah, yeah. Junior Bravo and my man DJ Cern, like, yeah, those cats, they sit there post videos, they be saying this person, that, like, this is really, it's really intricate. And I get that, so I ain't really got no, ain't got no beef with it, you know what I'm saying? But I know it's just not my cup of tea or whatever, but I respect it.
But it's part of the hip-hop culture, though.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's part of black culture. And I think, too, that's another thing I look for, in particular with not just hip-hop music, but black music in general, is the messaging. Rather if it's negative or positive, hopefully it is positive, but for me, I think it's important that, you know, if you have music, that you understand how important the messaging is, because that's our culture as black folks, being that starting from, you know, having oral traditions in Africa where you have people go around from, you know, tribe to tribe and all pass down their history through songs, through, you know, they'll gather around and they have these songs, and the songs will tell the history of that tribe or the history of that land or whatever, whatever. And then moving forward to, you know, the diaspora and us being brought over from, you know, Africa and being in America, being enslaved, and we communicated to each other through music, through spirituals, you know, through, you know, singing these songs and having them, these hidden messages in that, and then even moving forward, you know, civil rights movement, again, using spiritual, using music, you know, James Brown, you know, Marvin Gaye, all that stuff, uplifting ourselves and putting us together. So for me, I guess if there's anything I kind of, it what kind of does kind of get me, well, I know what I look for in music, especially when it comes from a black artist, is that messaging. Like, what are you saying? What message are you trying to come across? And if you don't have that, you may be dope. You may be lyrically dope. You may have a dope flow, or you may bring something new to the game. But if you're not saying nothing, then you're not adding on to where our ancestors started. And it's kind of like, what's the point? You know what I mean? So, right. So yeah, I don't know where I came from that.
Nah, it's all good.
But,
I do want to ask this question before we wrap it up. Talking about the culture of hip-hop, I was watching the Joe Budden podcast around the time that Triple X Tentacion died. And I wish people would learn how to say that man's name. They keep messing that man's name up. But either way.
Exactly.
Yeah. But when Tentacion got shot and killed, got murdered, rather, Joe Budden was, you know, a lot of people was talking about Tentacion, like what type of person he was, all of the drama and things that he was caught up in as far as domestic violence, rape, and all those things there. And Joe Budden made a comment that hip-hop and hip-hop culture has always found a place for rapists and murderers and all those types of people. And I found it interesting that a 40-year-old Joe Budden will be in this lane or in this certain mindset of, well, even though you're a rapist, if you make good music, then we'll look over that. So what are your thoughts on, like, the culture of hip-hop, being that hip-hop is toxic in some respects, probably in more respects than I'm giving it, but hip-hop does have toxic elements of it. So how do you feel about, like, men in their 40s, and not saying that Joe Budden himself is somebody who celebrates it, but how do you feel about men in their 40s or just hip-hop in general being a culture that harbors a lot of the toxic things in our society?
Well, hey, let me say, when Joe Budden said that, I was cringing. Like, nah,
right.
Nigga.
Right.
No,
right.
Dude, you speaking on your own. Ain't nobody, like, shoot, we got African Bambaataa out of here. And so
that's what
word
I was
got
about.
He was messing with little kids. You know what I'm saying? Even though it was 30 years ago, it was like, nah, bro.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know what Joe you got to take – I like the Joe Budden podcast. I listen to it every week. I anticipate it. But, yeah, sometimes Joe says some stuff – or Joe Budden to me. People get confused. Joe Budden says some stuff that's kind of like sideways, like, nah, bro, you straight. So, no, I don't agree with that. Now, in regards to – I'm going to mispronounce his name, or Triple X.
Mm-hmm.
My thing with him particularly was that it was still up in the air, you know what I'm saying, in regards to if he, you know, was going to be punished, if these were actually true allegations, how much of it was true, whatever. And I think those that, you know, supported him, we're kind of like on some wait and see, you know what I'm saying? I think now what's a worse example is, you know, look at R. Kelly, and it's like,
yeah, right.
We all saw that video.
Right.
Well, as far as, you know, Triple X, right. Like, that's really an indication of be looking crazy. But I think with Triple X, it was more so like it was allegations. But my thing is, if you think you know, then go down to the police department and tell them, look, this is what it is, and y'all need to have this man locked up. But if you don't know for sure, if you weren't there, don't be going on Twitter talking about he this and he that and the third. No, if you got evidence, go to the police department, let them know so this person can get locked up. If you don't, then shut up, because that's slander. You know what I'm saying? And as much as and I'm definitely in the Me Too movement in that, yeah, there's a lot – unfortunately, too many women that are silenced because no one wants to believe them. And that shouldn't happen. You know, I have a daughter, so, like, I'm always, you know, afraid of what can happen. I'm always conscious of who she around, you know, any guy. I don't care if he's 1 or 90. I don't care. I don't want no dude around my daughter because I know how creepy this world can be. You know what I'm saying? But on the flip side, people lie all the time, every day, all day. So that's why we have these mechanisms to try to decipher between people who are being victimized and people that are, you know, just trying to lie because they want to manipulate something. Because some people want the world to burn. Some people want to manipulate. They want to, you know, see somebody be harmed no matter what it is. And so we have to – that's why we have mechanisms to set up. And, yeah, the justice system, American justice system is jacked up. But that's why we have to work on getting it better, getting, you know, black prosecutors, getting black defenders, getting black judges. So all the harm that has come to us through that system that we can fix so we can make sure that, you know, black women and black men aren't silenced because of fabrications or because of fear and intimidation. But it's just, and I guess to segue into hip hop, it's bigger than hip hop. I think some of the vices and some of the things that happen are bigger than hip hop. It's a cultural thing, and hip hop is just a reflection. But also, too, I think a lot of people have to realize there's a separation. Not separation, but there's a difference between hip-hop culture and the rap music business culture. And I think a lot of times people look at the rap business side of things and then say, oh, that's hip-hop. And it is in the sense of it is part of hip-hop, but it doesn't encompass hip-hop. So I think my man Murs, he did a little thing on Hip-Hop DX. And he was talking about females in hip hop, and no, the segment was do hip hop hate women? That was the segment or whatever. And it's like my view is, do hip hop in general hate women? No, I think we have embraced our women. Like I said, there are female MCs that really come tough, that really, you know, do what they got to do, and we embrace them. We embrace, you know, female B girls. We embrace female tags. Whatever, whatever. In the hip hop sense, in the hip hop culture, I think we do probably even more so than other cultures are, you know, just the worldwide. I think hip hop do embrace females a lot more. But when you look at the rap game, if you look at the rap industry, then yeah, that's when it kind of flips and you see women being disrespected. You see the video vixen or the video hoe, or you see, you know, oh, you got to be a little Kim or Cardi B, you know, to make it in the industry. Or you have, you know, or you, it's nothing for a rapper to say a bitch or a hoe, or, you know, it's flippantly more so than the word nigga. You know what I'm saying? But I think that's more so of the industry. And then when you realize that that industry is really being manipulated by the music industry, and you realize who controls the music industry, that's not us, bro.
Right.
That's not us. It's the higher ups. And a lot of times the higher ups, they skin complexion look like the back of our the top of the bottom of our hands and the top of our hands.
Yeah, Leo
and
Cole.
that's where it's coming from. You know what I'm saying? So it's not us and or if it is us, it's because I don't want to say brainwashed, that's a strong word, but we've been so influenced by what was put in front of us on TV and on videos that we unfortunately began to accept that was us, but it's not. You know what I'm saying? We're not thugs, we're not hoes, we're not pimps, we're not hustlers and scammers and schemers and all the stuff that they try to put in front of us and say that's who we are. That's not us.
But
we are better than that. And if you go outside and you talk to people, especially black people, you see that that's not us. If you talk to people in hip-hop, you see that that's not us. That's a representation, but that's a misrepresentation. But we have to get to the point where we call that out and say, look, bro, that's not us. It may be some elements. Some of it we may think, you know, it's kind of funny or whatever, but for the most part, that's not us. We, as far as black folks, we go out here, we work, we try to raise our families, we try to get money so we can take care of ourselves, and that's it. You know what I'm saying? We're not what they claim. Like, take Chicago. Chicago isn't what they make Chicago to be out for. Yeah, it's, there's certain parts of it, but the city in general isn't that way. But people would be quick to be like, Chicago, Chicago. But that's not them. You know what I'm saying? But that image is what is put in front of us, and so people just assume that that's what it is because they see so much of it. You know what I'm saying? Or even people that's there kind of feed into it when it's not them. That's what it's a rap game. We feed in, we are fed into this whole gangster mentality when we ain't gangster. We not gangsters. It's a small element of that, but that element has been blown up to make it seem like that's all we are. And unfortunately, some of us, it's fed into that image, and so we imitate it. But at the end of the day, that's not us, man. Like, that's not hip-hop. We better than that. We've been better than that.
Yeah.
You see that? Yeah. I like what you said. I'm going to say this before Joe closes out. I think brainwashed is a perfect word. I think it fits. I think we've been indoctrinated. We've been brainwashed. I know they're strong words, and I understand you don't want to say them. That's why I'm here to say them.
No doubt.
They fit. They're appropriate, brainwashed, indoctrinated, whatever you want to choose, inculcated, any of them strong words you want to choose, socially engineered, they fit, they're applicable, and they make sense. And you're right, Chicago, crime is at a 20-year low. It's nowhere near what it was in the 90s. It's
right.
Down.
I try to tell people, like, oh, so many killings in Chicago. Like, it was worse in the 90s, bro. Like, it's actually down. But, yeah, go ahead, bro. You're right.
You're right. It's down. It's at a 20-year low. It's even lower than it was when Al Capone and all of them other dudes was walking the streets, and they weren't black. So,
right.
You know, it's down. Right. You're right. I think with rap, and I like the way you referenced that, rap versus, because, you know, me and Joe talk about this all the time, how, you know, rap is an artifact of hip-hop. It's not the other way around. Like, hip-hop is
right.
not an artifact of rap.
Rap right.
is a piece of hip-hop. The problem mm-hmm. is, rap is, like, the mouthpiece of hip-hop. So, like,
right.
it's, so I think, and I think rappers, if we could get them to understand the importance they have in the culture, because they are the voice of the culture. Most people don't see the taggers. They don't see the B-boys. They don't see the B-girls. They don't really see the DJs like that. They don't really see or hear from the other elements of hip-hop. Like, fashion can't talk. You know, it can, but it can't. You know,
right.
so the only communicative piece of hip-hop that the outside world can understand is rap. And that means rappers have an immense level of responsibility because they shape not only the culture from within, but they shape the perception of the culture from those on the outside looking in. So I like what you said. I definitely like what you said. Joe, Lil Shirt Man, where you at?
The shirt man is right here, right up in your edge. Hallelujah! There you go. Hey,
that
so
was dope. He just went in for like 5-10 minutes of dopeness.
It is, hey, man. Lyrics. He write his own stuff. Y'all better believe it.
For real.
Straight up. Hey, man. So, tell the people where they can find your music, and also when the first episode of the Enigma Set Hour was gonna come out.
I bet. You can find my music on SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/EnigmaSelp. It's EnigmaSept, SELP, short for September. Also, too, at Bandcamp. You can find it at EnigmaSelp9.bandcamp.com. Or just Google EnigmaSelp and everything should populate. My Twitter, my Facebook, Instagram, and links to my music if you just want to keep it simple. The EnigmaSelp Hour, we're going to get it popping this Friday. I'm going to do the live version this Friday. You can catch me on YouTube with the live. And then also, too, before then, I actually got another interview with my man, The Beast. He got a Friday joint that I'm going to be doing that. And then when I come from there, I'm going to come back to the crib and do the Enigma's Half Hour, and then go live on YouTube. So just if you follow me on Twitter and our Facebook, you know what I'm saying, I post the links or whatever to the live joint, and then also, too, once it get posted on the Freedom Train Network, you can get it from there. So I'm not sure if I'm going to have a act this time around, so it'll probably just be all of me for a whole hour, which I think I could pull it off. But, but moving forward, I definitely will have, you know, acts featured on the show.
That's what's up. That's what's up, man. The Enigma Sep Hour is going down. Make sure you support his music. Make sure you support the man and everything that he do. Also support the podcast right on the Freedom Train Network. Parting shots. What's your parting shots, Pat?
Power to the people.
What about you, Enigma? What's your parting shots?
Yo, man, just continue to support us. I appreciate y'all boys, man, for letting me, you know, come on here and run my mouth. Appreciate you for the opportunity and the space to, you know, be a creative on the network or whatever. So I'm just ready to get into it. I got a lot on my plate coming up. So I'm just really geared up to get everything popping. Shouts out to my people. Shouts out to my man, JC. And Underground Railroad, shouts out to the network, Raven October. Durham Dizzle, happy birthday, bro. And everybody else, you know, my man Aaron. Also, RIP to my man Dwayne Brown, a.k.a. Steeple, a.k.a. Detox. And, man, let's go, man. Just ready to get this thing popping. Entertained?
There you go. Get your mind right. The Freedom Train Network, you already know what it is right here on the Freedom Train Podcast Series. I'm Joseph Ward. It's Patrick Irvin. And we do it how we do it.